Grace and peace to you in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who fills the church with great joy this day and always. Amen. Today I want to talk about the first reading from Acts 11, the story of the Gentiles, you and I, included in God's plan of salvation. We pray as we hear the word of God. Pray with me. Lord, your word is powerful. Your word is strong, it is living, it is active, sharper than any double-edged sword you teach us. May that powerful word penetrate our minds, our hearts, give us faith, give us strength, give us joy in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We pray all these things in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Christ is risen. That's about as third as loud as it was on Easter Sunday. We're kind of dying out after Easter. Come on, folks. One more time. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Let's keep the Easter joy. There are three types of people in the world. And which type are you? Is my question today. There are many people that don't know the way. And then secondly, there are people that stand in the way. And thirdly, there are people that show the way. Which are you? All three are part of this first reading, Acts 11, where the gospel has gone out to the Gentiles. It took a long time for the church to realize we have to go to the Gentiles. It's beyond just the Jews. It goes to the Gentiles. But here it is, Acts 11. Wonderful story of our salvation, the gospel for us too. And in this story, this great mission story of taking the gospel now to the Gentiles, the ends of the earth, we have some that don't know the way, and some that stand in the way, and someone who shows the way. First of all, you have in the book of Acts a huge group of people that don't know the way. And we in our world today of 7 billion have a huge group of people that don't know the way. They don't know the way to heaven. They don't know the way to joy. They don't know the way to forgiveness and salvation. They just don't know the way. Here in Acts 11, it's the Gentiles. And specifically in Acts 11, it is this man named Cornelius. Cornelius represents you and I. He and his household. We are Cornelius in the story, if you will. He represents the Gentiles, which, again, most of us here are Gentiles. Who is Cornelius, this Gentile and his household that are saved? Who is this man? Well, the Bible earlier in Acts tells us a lot of good things about Cornelius. Cornelius was a centurion, which means he was ruler over, or he was a general over at least 100 military men, 100 soldiers. Very important man, had a lot of power. He was part of the Italian regiment, a very prestigious regiment in the Roman army. This is a powerful man. We're also told that he feared God, which means he respected the Jewish religion, and he feared Yahweh, the Lord. We're told that he had awe and respect of God. He prayed, we are told. He prayed to God, and he was also very charitable. He gave to the poor. This is a good man, Cornelius. We would say today, this is a good man, a good citizen, a good guy. He prays. He kind of knows who God is. Surely he's going to go to heaven. Not so fast. Cornelius, in the end, doesn't really know the way. As good as he is, as devout as he is, as much as he prays, he doesn't really know the way because he doesn't know Jesus yet. He doesn't know the cross and the resurrection and the forgiveness of sins. He doesn't know that yet. No one has told him. And this really interests me because I think we have a lot of people like Cornelius living all around us. Now, there are many in the world that don't know the way, that don't believe because they hate God and they shake their fist at God and they worship idols. We all know that. We must pray for them too and send missionaries to them too that they too would believe. But then there are a lot of unbelievers that are, quote, I use this loosely, good people. Like Cornelius. They're not evil. They're not committing crimes. They're not worshiping idols. They are good people. We have a lot of them right around here. A lot of people have a general knowledge of God. They would say, yeah, there's a God up there. I'm not sure who he is, but there's a God. They may even pray to God some, especially when there's trial and tribulation. They may be very good in giving, helping the poor, helping their neighbor. You have people that you work with like this. They'll do anything for you. Nice people, honest. They go to work every day. Good citizens, good people. And they fear God. They kind of know God and they pray. Surely they're in heaven. Not if they don't know Jesus. Their goodness isn't good enough. Their prayers don't get them to heaven. And all their giving to the poor doesn't get them to heaven. If they don't know Jesus. They're not baptized in the name of Jesus and they don't believe in Jesus. They're close. They're good soil, we would say. Really good soil. But they need Jesus. Because they are lost. What really interests me in this story is how God brings Cornelius right to Peter's door. We don't want to give Peter a bunch of credit here as if Peter was searching for the lost Gentiles out on these huge missionary journeys. Not at all, at least here. God brings through a vision Cornelius right to the door of Peter, and Cornelius knocks on his door while Peter's having this vision of the animals, and God says, go ahead and kill and eat all these animals, which symbolically means that the Gentiles, all the wild animals out there, the Gentiles also are part of God's plan of salvation. God wants to make them clean too. So God gives a vision to Peter to teach bullheaded, stubborn Peter. The Gentiles are included. He does it three times, Peter. Come on, Peter. I want the Gentiles too. And right when Peter wakes up from his vision, Cornelius, a Gentile, knocks on his door. God has arranged the entire thing. All Peter has to do is go and speak. And yes, we want to go search for the lost, but often we don't even have to do that. Often God brings the lost right to our door. They're right in the cubicle next to us at work. They're right there. Someone who doesn't know Jesus. They're on the ball team that my kid plays for. Parents and family, they're right there. I sit by them in the bleacher. They don't know Jesus. They're right there. I don't have to go to them. They're right there. I go grocery shopping with them. They're right there in the aisle with me. They're in my neighborhood. They're my neighbor. Might have to walk a few steps, knock on their door. They're right there. Good people, supposedly. Charitable. That's wonderful. But if they don't know Jesus, they're destined for hell. And God puts people, God gives us many opportunities. Puts people right there. Do we open our eyes and see it? Took Peter three times through a vision. Come on, Peter. May God open our eyes. You know, I heard a story driving to work this week. A true story. As I was driving here, of a guy that got pulled over by the police. You know what he had in his car? In his car, they found 53, yes, 53 king cobras in his car. Who wants to ride with him to work? What are you doing, buddy? You got 53 king cobras. What are you doing? Get away. Run to safety. What kind of nut are you, you want to say to him? Do we realize that all the, quote, good people out there, all the good neighbors that don't know Jesus are destined for something worse? They're destined to be with the snake of snakes, the devil in hell forever, if they don't know Jesus. Do we care? We'd all tell that guy in the car, what are you doing, buddy? Run for safety. These are snakes. Do we go to our neighbor in love and say, come on, what are you doing in your life? I want to tell you of Jesus, my Savior. I want you to come to church with me. There are millions and billions that are like Cornelius that don't know the way. They're all around us. Then secondly, there are those that stand in the way. They block the way. You have that in this story too. To summarize the story, Peter preaches the gospel. The Gentiles, Cornelius and his household are saved. They receive the Holy Spirit. They're baptized. And then the word gets out to the other apostles in the church in Jerusalem, the Jewish church. Hey, the Gentiles have been saved. They believe too. They got the Holy Spirit too. Was there hallelujahs? Were there amens? And they're singing and rejoicing? Not so much. We have the circumcision party, a party within the Christian church that are not so happy. They criticize Peter. You went to uncircumcised men and you ate with them. They are the group standing in the way. Who are these men, the circumcision party? These are Christians. They're within the Jewish church. They've been baptized. They know Jesus. And they are Jewish. And they have the belief, the wrong belief, that for a Gentile to be... They didn't mind the Gentiles being saved. But for a Gentile to be saved, they first have to become a Jew. which means the men and the boys have to be circumcised. It means they have to obey all the Jewish laws, all the dietary laws. They have to become like Jews, and then they can be saved. And I imagine the circumcision party also wanted the Gentiles to be their own separate church. All right, you have your Gentile church over here. We will be the Jewish church. We're the better church. And we'll just split apart and have two different churches. That was probably their idea because they hated each other. They are blocking the way. They're angry because Peter, a Jew, went to eat with Gentiles, which was forbidden. You know a little history of the Jews and Gentiles. They hated each other. The Jews would say the only reason God made Gentiles was to be fuel for hell. That was their only purpose, to be fuel for hell, to burn up in hell. Sad. The Jews would call Gentiles rocks. You're just a lifeless rock I can kick, step on. That's why you're here, for me to step on and to abuse. Most Jewish men every morning would pray a prayer and thank God that they weren't Gentiles. You wake up thanking God that you're not somebody else. I mean, how arrogant and self-righteous and hypocritical. And Jews would not talk to Gentiles. They wouldn't eat with Gentiles. Certainly wouldn't socialize with Gentiles. They wouldn't want to be around Gentiles. They wouldn't want to breathe the air of a Gentile. They didn't want to walk behind a Gentile lest they get the dust of the Gentile on their feet. Totally stay away. Hatred. And our God in His love is trying to uproot this hatred, this hypocrisy, this judgmentalism to have one church. And it's tough to do, even with His apostles like Peter. Blocking the way. Are you standing in the way? Sometimes the main reason people don't come to a church is because of the people in the church. Or the pastor in the church. Because we're judgmental. We look down on them. We won't talk to them. We won't eat with them, certainly. Won't socialize with such people. Won't be around them. Tell them to clean up your life if you're going to be in here. Get rid of your cursing, your swearing, your adultery. Get rid of all your sins and you can come. That's not Christianity. Christianity is where Jesus comes, and while we are yet sinners, Christ cleaned us and washed us and brings us in. And then by His power, we do want to change, certainly. Are you standing in the way with legalism, judgmentalism, a cold shoulder, a mean heart? Peter says, who am I to stand in the way when God's opened the door? Who am I not to love when He's loved me? You know, I read a cute story about judging others. I'll read you. I found this kind of interesting. A woman notices a man smoking and decides to educate him. How many packs of cigarettes do you smoke a day? She asks. Three, he says. How much does each pack cost? Oh, around $5. And how long have you been smoking? She asked. 10 years. Why? Well, did you know that if you had saved all that money from cigarettes, you could have bought a Lamborghini by now? Wow, the man exclaims. Do you smoke, ma'am? She says proudly, no. And he says, then where's your Lamborghini? In other words, quit preaching to me. Quit judging me. Take the log out of your own eye before you take the speck out of my eye. And there's many people in the world that want to say that to the church. Quit preaching to me. Try to take the log out of my eye. Quit judging me. The world, like Cornelius, is saying, love me. Show you care about me. Take some time to listen to me and what I'm going through. Forgive me. Would you please forgive me? There are many out there longing for that from the church. May we not stand in the way with a cold heart. There is the one who shows the way. And the one who shows the way, albeit reluctantly, is Peter. He's the humble, reluctant apostle who does show the way. We shouldn't, again, give too much credit to Peter. God's arranged the whole thing. And it always amazes me that it took this long for the early church to realize that God wants to save the Gentiles. They should have known this by now. What's wrong with them? Open your eyes. Jesus said before He ascended, go make disciples of all nations, guys. Of all nations, not just your own, but everybody. Didn't they hear that from Jesus? And there were other centurions that believed. The guy at the cross confessed. Then there was a guy earlier. Jesus healed his servant. He believed too. Jesus reached out to Gentiles, some in his ministry. The Syrophoenician woman whose daughter was demon-possessed, Jesus healed her and gave her faith, commended her faith quite a bit. Jesus reached out to the poor, the lowly. And right before Acts 11, you have the Ethiopian eunuch who has been saved. He was a Gentile. He's been saved. And right before this, you have Paul. Now, Paul was a Jew, but Paul persecuted the church. He killed Christians, and yet he's saved. Doesn't it get through their brains? God wants to save everybody. God wants to forgive everybody. Now get out there and go. And Peter does, by the blessing of God and the Spirit, he does go with Cornelius. And if you read earlier in Acts, he doesn't do a miracle for Cornelius and his family. He doesn't do a sign and a wonder. He just speaks of Jesus. Not a long sermon either, just a few words about Jesus, the one who was anointed by God to save the world, the one who died and rose for salvation and forgiveness. He preaches the gospel, speaks it, but it's quite short. And while he is speaking, the Spirit comes upon Cornelius and the Gentiles, and they have faith, and they're baptized. Wow, the power of the gospel, the power of one person, a humble person, even maybe reluctantly speaking the gospel, how God can use that and deliver people from hell. Will you show the way? You know what is the favorite cookie of America? The Oreo cookie. But from January to March, do you know what the favorite cookie is? All the girls should know this. Girl Scout cookies. From January to March, Girl Scout cookies are the favorite. Do you know how many Girl Scout cookies we eat? 200 million Girl Scout cookies. I probably got at least 1,000 myself in this gut right here. I mean, 200 million cookies. Now, why do people buy Girl Scout cookies? To help the Girl Scouts? Yes. But why do people really buy Girl Scout cookies? Because they are good. They taste good. Duh. People want good things. People don't just want good cookies. People today want to hear good news with their ears. They want to hear good news. Most people want to hear good news in a world full of bad news. You know the good news. You know the love of God in Jesus. Go tell of the love of God. You know the forgiveness of God in Jesus. Go tell the whole world they're forgiven. Tell that burdened friend you're forgiven of your sins in the blood of Jesus. You know you're going to go to heaven. At least I pray you do. Tell that dying person, that sick person, you can go to heaven through the blood of Jesus. Believe in Jesus and be baptized. Go tell the lonely person you have a friend in Jesus. And oh, what a friend he is. Go tell the good news. You can do it. That all would be saved. Many don't know the way. Many don't know the way. They're all around us, knocking on our doors, right in our lives. Will you stand in the way, or will you show the way? Amen. Let us rise. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.